Amen. He being dead, yet speaketh. Yeah, the message lives on and will, I believe, for a long time. And we thank the Lord for that. Heaven takes on a new meaning at a time like this, doesn't it? Appreciated all the songs and the testimonies and the things that were shared this morning already. Personal testimonies, how God used Brother Mose and others to bless you. I'm one of those as well. It's over 30 years ago that I believe was the first time I met Mose. We were a young family seeking the Lord, and he somehow heard about that and made his way over to Farmersville into our house, and him and his wife and Myron at that time. And I think that might have been one of the first times we met him. It was very early on anyway. We were still in the Wanger Mennonite Church at that time, and that was a little bit of a dangerous thing to do, to have Brother Mose at our house. So, one time in the evening, he decided that we should have a prayer time, and so I went over and I pulled the shade down. It was evening, so because that was not a good thing to do coming from where we were coming from. We had a very nice time that night of prayer and fellowship, and from there it was just the journey with Brother Mose and the Church of Charity there. One thing I remember of Mose through the years, different times when he talked about people clapped or flattered a man too much or that type of thing, giving glory to man. He told the story about the Russian preachers who would duck behind the pulpit when people clapped. And I always appreciated Mose for that kind of humility. And one thing I thought about over the years, if you wanted to know something about Brother Mose himself, you probably had to ask. Pretty much. I heard testimonies, maybe just in visiting yesterday, that they didn't even know what he did, for a work. He was not one that would talk about his work freely. At least that was my experience. And he would if you ask. But churches, things of God, where the Lord was moving, no end to that. Amen. It just flowed. And flowed and flowed. And that is such a good memory to have of Brother Mose. And I hope that's I could practice, I could do that and have that memory about me as well. So like I said, heaven takes on a new meaning this morning. Heaven knows all about this. I don't know if Rhoda's here or not. I didn't see her, but I want to give her my sympathies as well and my prayers. Maybe she's listening in. I don't know. But you have been on our heart very, very much, Rhoda, and also the church here. And I'd like to greet everyone this morning here in Jesus Christ's name. What a privilege that we have to gather together in Jesus Christ's name, who is a faithful witness, as John says in Revelation. Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten or the firstborn from the dead. Hallelujah. What a name to greet you in, one that has come back from the dead. Amen. Think about that. He said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. So the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And I have faith and hope that that is where Moses is this morning. And we have the greeting of Jesus here from heaven. He is the Prince of the Kings of the earth. And we have His precious Word. We have faith this morning. We have grace from God. Grace is the unmerited favor to do the will of God. Think about that. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you as a body, as a church. And not only do we have faith, faith to me gets the work done. Faith is the living power. Grace is the power from God. Faith is on our part to do God's work. We serve God by faith. But there's another chord this morning, another power that I want to speak about this morning to us. Maybe share that in just a minute. But to you as a church in the days and weeks to come, I would like to encourage you to find yourself, as it were, sitting by Jacob's well. And saying, Lord, evermore, give me the living water. That Jesus told that woman that day, if you would know who I am, you would ask of me, and I would give you living water. You know, at a time like this, for Rhoda and for the church both alike, human consolation is vitally important. And I believe Jesus works through the body and each other to minister that consolation to each other. But I would like to say, give some extra attention and make some extra effort to be careful not to deprive yourself of sitting at the feet of Jesus with an open Bible and your phone on silent. And maybe off. And listen. And love. And worship. Jesus. I think that's very important to do at a time like this. Coming back to Brother Mose again for a moment. He filled a big spot in life, in many people's lives. And his passing undoubtedly has left a huge hole. I believe this morning that Jesus can, and I believe wants to, fill that hole again somehow. By His grace and by His gifts. Heard a little bit about that this morning. By His gifts, this brother Moses' passing has not depleted Heaven's gifts. Sure, God used them mightily, but other great men have come and gone. And the church goes on. It needs to go on. And I believe Jesus wants to, by His grace and gifts and power and Spirit, minister through the body and begin to fill that spot in God's own way. And I don't think we should try and be Brother Mose. We probably will fail if we do that. That could be a disaster if you try and be Brother Mose. You'll probably find out that the duct tape don't have the adhesion that maybe his had. But to sit at the feet of Jesus and allow Him to do something could come out so much better. Amen? It'll come out so much better. And so just yield yourself to the Lord. Yield yourself to the Lord. Pray. Believe God. Avail yourself. And see what God will do. I also bring greetings from the church there in Iowa. We have also been recipients of great blessings from not only Brother Mose, but from the many churches that he was involved in starting. And I believe it's 28 years ago that Brother Mose and Denny and Aaron sent us with their blessing to Iowa as a family. That seems like a long time ago. And so going forward this morning, I want to talk about hope. Hope is yet another. We have faith to get the job done. We have the power of God, the grace from God to empower us. And we have a hope this morning that is like that cord, that cable that enters in within the veil. Think about that this morning. I don't know if there's anyone here. How can I say it? It's hard for me to even begin to imagine to go through death, the death of a friend, without that hope. Not only hope for the individual that passed, but hope for us to go on. And that's where I'm going this morning. Blessed hope. Hope for us to go on. I have a couple, three, 4 points that I'd like to talk about on hope, and just to encourage the body here along those lines. Blessed hope. Hope is that which anticipates something. We have expectation of something, and it also has the definition of confidence. It gives us great confidence to go forward. For all of us, it's been a challenging year. We have had a lot of things thrown at us in 2020. But dearly beloved, we have hope. This morning that is a lot older than 2020. It's been around for a long time. And it probably has seen years like or worse than 2020 was the Christian hope. There have been other bad years that people have experienced. And so in the big picture, others have probably been through and much worse than what we've been through in the last year in the Christian scene. But the Bible says in Titus chapter 2, verse 11, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." Blessed hope. It's a living hope. It's a hope that it's not just this hope, well, I hope things will be okay with me. You know, I hope this will work out. It's much deeper, much more solid than all of that. It's a blessed hope. And it's so good for us to think about that this morning. Christ Jesus in you, Christ Jesus in me, is, I believe, the basis of this hope. It's the foundation of a hope that is unshakable and unmovable. So if you don't have Christ in you, you probably don't know what I'm talking about this morning. Because He is the basis, He is the grounds, He is the foundation of this kind of hope. That we can go through something like we went yesterday, for many of us, or in the day before. First we saw Brother Mo. Some of you saw him before that, you know, earlier, perhaps in the week. But to come and see a brother that has spent so much time among us and with us and had such an influence in our life, and to not just fall apart. But yes, to grieve and to love that dear brother, and yet to be so full of hope, such a loss, and yet such a gain for ever having met him. Amen? Such a loss, and yet such a gain. What a hope! And it is because of Christ. Christ in him, Christ in us. That is the foundation, that is the basis of this hope. It's Christ in us. And continuing to be in us, like we heard this morning, and I have that down here under this first point, is Christ abiding in us. Is the reality of this hope. Christ abiding is the reality of this hope. We are not like others who have no hope, but we have hope. Hope is a mighty cable that reaches within the veil. The second thing that hope, that I want to consider this morning concerning hope is, what are we hoping for? Well, yeah, we want to see my brother Mose again, but that pales in light of the big picture. We're hoping for, brothers and sisters, eternal life. Yes, we've entered in. Yes, we've tasted it. But, oh, dearly beloved, we have hope of eternal life. Life without end. This morning, eternal life. Titus chapter 1, if you're in Titus there, you can turn back to chapter 1. Titus 1, verse 2. Well, let me read verse 1 as to get the context here. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Yes, we look forward to seeing our loved ones. Yes, we look forward to seeing Jesus Christ Himself. But the big picture, we have hope of eternal life. Perpetual, everlasting life. Titus chapter 2, verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. I did read that already. Titus 3, verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which is shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Think with me this morning of stepping on shore and finding it heaven. This is heaven. Think with me of taking hold of a hand and finding out it's God's hand. Think with me of breathing in new air and finding it celestial air. That's what we're hoping for. Think with me of feeling invigorated. You know, we get tired in these bodies, but think with me of getting invigorated and finding its immortality. That's what it is. Hallelujah. It's eternal life. Think with me of passing from storm and tempest to an unbroken calm. And we're going to look up and we're going to say, this is home. We're never going to leave this place. Hallelujah. That's what we're hoping for. What does this hope offer the believer now? You can turn with me to Hebrews chapter 6 for a very familiar verse, but I believe it's good to lay your eyes on it. Hebrews chapter 6. What does this hope offer the believer now? I've already alluded to it, but in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18, that by two immutable things, in that which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. What a word picture there. And this man fleeing, and he grabs a hold of this hope tenaciously, white knuckled, if you will. We have fled for refuge to lay hold of this hope. Which is set before us. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. Both sure and steadfast. Anybody need something like that? We do. Something sure and steadfast in a shaking, moving, changing world. Oh, glory, here it is. Here it is. Polish this thing up, brothers and sisters. Think about it. Are you holding on this morning? Have you been losing grip? Are you white-knuckled holding on to this hope? Not wavering? Nothing shaking you. It's an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into the veil. Right up there to the heart of God. My hope. Hallelujah. Whither the forerunner Jesus is entered in for us. Oh, ponder that. What a glorious hope. Let nothing shake your hope. Others who have not this hope, their hearts fail them for fear. And I think the way to get this hope is what I said there earlier. To find yourself with your Bible open early in the morning, meditating prayerfully, allowing God to speak to you, to your heart from this book. Amen. We have so much bombarding us, and even over this, with the media, with the technology, we can so easy send each other messages of encouragement. That can be a good thing, but you know, if you're sitting there and you're meditating on the Word and beep, beep, you know, you have to look and then it takes you a while to get back. Just turn that thing off for a while and hear the heart of God. You can check up on those messages when God is done with you and when you're done with God. I really believe that. I believe that's how your hope is, that's how your hope grows, that's how it stays vibrant, real, lively, by doing just that. By doing just that. We know it up here, but are we doing it? This is not just a dormant hope that like I said earlier, that lays there and, well, I hope I make it into heaven. Or even beyond that, this hope affects us. If we have this kind of hope, it affects us how we live. It affects our choices. It affects us what we do, where we go, what we say. It affects who we are. And we'll see that in a moment here. This hope, this kind of hope has a powerful effect on the life of a believer. Even as we've looked there in Titus in the first passage there, you know, it's tied to grace. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. It's the grace of God that teaches us in the first place that we should deny ungodliness. We should deny worldly lusts. It teaches us to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And then it says, looking for that blessed hope. So it's tied together. I don't think you can separate the two. So this hope has a purifying, sanctifying effect on the life of the believer. And when that thing comes to you, for example, let's say you get a text or a forward that is just off track. It's foolish. It should disgust you. It should repulse you. I cannot take this kind of thing in. For sure not send it on. Amen. Those kind of foolish, carnal things. This hope militates against the carnal life. Amen. You want something to help you be spiritual? Polish up your hope. Think about it. Let it work for you in your heart. And we'll see that in a moment here. This hope purifies. It purifies your tongue. Because you have the hope of going to see Jesus and standing before Him and giving account of what you said. So coming to our next point, how does this hope affect the believer? And that's, we're going to turn to 1 John chapter 3 for that word. 1 John chapter 3. Blessed words of John, the beloved John. He leaned on Jesus' breast. He's got something to say to us. We probably can't shake the hand of the man that shook the hand of Jesus. But we can hear words from the man that laid his head on his breast. And we find that in 1 John chapter 3, the words from a man who laid his head on Jesus' breast. I think we should sit up and listen. Behold, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Oh, therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Pilgrims and strangers. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. So you might say, you mean that's something I have to do? I believe it's a cooperation with God. The matter of purifying ourselves, sanctifying, living a sanctified life. Things that I once got away with doing, I can't do anymore. Things that I once got away with saying, I can't say anymore. Music that I once was able to listen to, I can't listen to anymore. Amen? That's called sanctification. Friends that I once hung around with, I can't hang around anymore because I have this hope of meeting a holy God that's coming in the clouds with a cloud, Jesus Christ. And I don't want to be caught in ungodly companions in an ungodly discussion or have listening to ungodly music. No, I want to be found of Him without spot. Imagine being found of God. One brother mentioned this morning, God found you, Brother Sam, right? Well, you are going to be found of God again. And God's going to summon you before Him to the judgment throne. And we want to be found of God. It's your time, Brother Sam, come. It's your time, sister, come. That ye be found of God without spot. Really? Is it that critical? Is that serious? Every man that has this hope in him purifieth himself. Be found of God. Brother Moses, found of God. Summoned to God. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, these promises, we can't say we need to wait for a miracle to God, you know, does it for us. But having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. What's "and spirit" mean? We can maybe relate to the flesh. You know, the things we put on the flesh, but filthiness of spirit, carnal spirit. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Revelation says, "Behold, I come quickly." Revelation 22:7. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And that establishes, this book is where our hope is based on. This is what we believe to be the Word of God. And it says that we are blessed if we keep the sayings of this book. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. It'll be so final. But today, oh, it's the day of grace. Hallelujah. Today, we can draw nigh to God. We can acknowledge our sins. We can confess our sins. We can pray for God's Holy Spirit to change us. Today is that day. Jesus said when he came back from being in the presence of Satan there in the wilderness, or at least tempted by the devil, when he said, he came back, he said these beautiful words. He said, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." He came to, of course, preach the gospel to the poor, heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, and set at liberty them that are bruised, preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and all the people's eyes were fastened on him. And he said, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And that year hasn't expired yet, by the way. There's still power from the Lord to make us holy. And to allow that blessed hope to make us His holy and peculiar people that He wants. "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." Let me read that again. "The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope." The opposite of hope is hopeless, of course. Have you ever felt hopeless? We all probably have for a time. But it's not God's will that we stay there. Romans 12:12 says we should rejoice in hope. "For yet a little while," the Bible says, "and he that shall come, and will not tarry." The Lord is coming. And here in Hebrews it says, "For yet a little while." He that shall come will come and will not tarry. It would seem to me it has to be pretty close. But I'll close here with a poem to reinforce our hope of eternal life. Heaven at last. On the jasper threshold standing, like a pilgrim safely landing, see the strange and bright scenes expanding. Ah, 'tis heaven at last. What a city, what a glory, far beyond the fairest story of the ages old and hoary. Ah, 'tis heaven at last. Christ Himself, the living splendor, Christ the sunshine, mild and tender, praises to the Lamb we render. Ah, 'tis heaven at last. Yes, it will be worth it all. It will be worth it all. Hallelujah. So I trust that I pushed the reset button on your hope tank, and you have a stronger hope this morning and are encouraged to press on. We will endeavor to pray for the church here and give encouragement where we can, but God will take care of you. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up, brethren and sisters. Just draw together. Wait on the Lord, as was already said. Don't try to be Moses, but allow God to use you in whatever capacity that He would want to. Amen. God bless you. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Elman, for your words of encouragement, for helping us to lift our eyes to the hills, for whence comes our help. And help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. We want to put our hope in Him again this morning. My heart has been encouraged being here together with you all, sharing together, hearing the various ones as they shared. And I trust that all of us have been encouraged together. So may we keep our eyes on the Lord. He is our hope. We can't put our hope in man. We're going to be let down sooner or later, even if it's through no fault of theirs. But our God is the only one whose hope, the only one that we can put our hope in that will never disappoint us. And we might be disappointed, our flesh might be disappointed, but we know that He knows what is best for us. And we can trust that He has our good in mind no matter what He allows into our lives. And even during this time, we can trust Him for that. So we'd like to take some time here and open it up. If anyone will have any response to the message, anything you'd like to share, raise your hand and someone will get a microphone to you. Carl in the back.
I was really blessed this morning. Thank you, Brother Elvin, for that good word. I saw something I never saw quite, I've never seen before, and that is the close relationship of faith and hope. It's almost like faith is an engagement of our will and our mind. We see something, we believe it, but then hope is like the heart getting involved and saying, this is real for me, and now I'm going to make choices based on what I believe. And Hebrews 11, verse 1, which is the faith chapter, we often say, faith is the substance of things hoped for. I just really like that picture. And I found these verses in Romans 8, which I don't think our brother read, but they tie in here. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then we do with patience wait for it. I just really like that picture. You know, again, the God our brother served that motivated him through all his years, he's still with us, and he's calling us to look up and with patience pursue the hope that he had, and that should be real to each one of our hearts. And then I was also very intrigued with the close relationship between that hope and joy. Our brother read a number of verses about that, that tie those together. And I truly believe if we can focus our hearts around that lively hope that is within us, it will bring joy to us. That will help us to smile through our tears. I just praise God for that. Thank you, brother.
Amen. Thank you. Brother Leon?
It was about, I think, in about a month from now, it'll be 23 years that my wife and I were married, and Brother Mose preached our wedding sermon. And a number of things that he said I remember well. A lot of times people forget their wedding sermon, but I remembered a number of things that Mose shared. One thing that I thought of this morning as Alvin was sharing on this hope and looking beyond the present circumstances. Mose shared, I don't know if it was an allegory or exactly what it was, but he mentioned that in the Duke of Bavaria, I think it was that was a region, and the enemy came to this city and besieged the city, surrounded it, but then the terms of surrender, the enemy told the city that the women and the children could leave with whatever they could carry, but the men would be captives and would be their slaves. But the women and the children were free to leave. And so after some deliberation, the women all carried their husbands out across the gate, out of the city gate to safety. And Mose was just using that as a good illustration for loyalty and marriage and all of that. And, of course, that has stuck with me all these years. But I thought of that this morning as Elvin was sharing about hope. And I can only possibly imagine, I think I can identify with some of the feelings that the local fellowship here has, and just want to encourage you. You know, the enemy wants us to think that there's no hope. He wants us to think that we're kind of stuck, we're in a corner, and there's really no options but just to be discouraged, depressed. But we can look to Jesus, and we can be inspired. And amen. As we consider our circumstances, it matters where we look and where we draw our strength and our hope from. So God bless you all.
Where are you from?
I deeply, deeply appreciate our brothers coming from various places and comforting us this morning. It really means a lot. One brother goes up and the youth go up and sing, and the next one goes up and just encouraging us to lift up our eyes to Jesus, to sit at his feet, to have that hope, that lively hope within us, to look to heaven and consider the glories that await us. Just want to thank you for doing that, for all the visitors that are here today. I deeply appreciate interchurch relationships. The people of God need each other beyond our local church. We need each other. We need to faithfully bind together and exhort and encourage each other. and help each other. The one verse that I just kept pondering for a while here, it says, "And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure." The Bible makes it so black and white. It says every man, if we have this hope within us, we're going to be purified day after day, week after week, month after month. We're going to be in the Word and in prayer and fellowship and getting closer and closer to God. And as hard as this week has been, I thank God for purifying my soul through this. Mm-hmm. I have felt more distant from the things of this earth and closer to heaven this week than I have for a while. I bless the Lord. I want to keep going on that, in that track, and just be my own faithful little self. Realize that I'm not called to be someone else, but be faithful to the Lord each day.
James? Or go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, as I hear the conversation here about the living hope, I can't help but think what Brother Mose would say. He would say, "Lebendige Hoffnung." I heard that so much over the years. And for those that understand the German, in the religious circles, there was this, we can't know that we're saved. We just, wir hoffen, wir sind errettet. You know, at the end of life, we just hope, hope in the way of wishing. Mm-hmm. Mose preached a living hope. Mm-hmm. And when you hear it in German, somehow it rings a little deeper for us that know the German. Something else I wanted to just share here this morning, Brother Elvin specifically shared about the need of just getting up and quieting ourselves with the Word of God. And I had a memory come back. When I worked at Denver Cold Storage, you know, the engine room was Moses' domain. And I don't know if you ever stepped into the engine room, but it was loud in there. And I think there's a picture over here with him with earmuffs on, and he's down working on a machine. Well, there's a reason for that. Those machines were loud. In my first year working there, I was in maintenance for a while. And one day, I walked through the basement. I'm like, ah, I heard Mose pray. And I stopped and I'm like, where is he? And I can't explain it today, but there was a connection from that basement to the engine room. He was in the engine room praying where it was loud, where he's assuming complete seclusion, his closet. And I became aware, oh, Moses in the engine room. I remember just moving on. I need to leave him his privacy. But as I think about it, we want the spirit that Moses had. God hasn't changed. Mm-hmm. Take our quiet time and have a closet that we go to and get alone with God. Mm-hmm. Amen. God is no respecter of person. He'll meet us.
Amen. Thank you for that. Brother James?
I too want to express my appreciation for all the brothers that shared here this morning. I think each one of you spoke to me. I heard your heart. One thing that stood out to me here, Brother Elvin shared, was there in Hebrews 6. And we have a hope. We have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. That phrase, sure and steadfast. That is my desire, is to have a faith and a hope that is sure and steadfast. And I believe Brother Mose had a faith that was sure and steadfast. I don't think there's any question about that. I was with a brother there yesterday at the graveside. Many of you probably saw it there. But he expressed, he says, I want to die like this man. Mm-hmm. You know, as was said this morning, you know, he lived the perfect life. An imperfect man lived the perfect life. But I think that could be an inspiration to all of us, to myself. You know, I want to die like that man.
Amen.
God bless each one again for sharing this morning and giving of yourself to comfort and encourage us and to exhort us. Thank you.
I thought I will be quiet today, maybe next time when more local people to share this, but maybe it will be good to tell today. I like go to funeral service. Why? Because usually funeral service, people tell everything good about that person who passed away. It's mean good test when you will stay before God. What is good, what is not good. So usually on funeral service, people share about good. So try to use that good in your life as much as you can. When you will stay before God, you will not shame. And you will hear a good job. But what I want to tell today, maybe a lot of that friends who like Brother Moses and come to here and stay here in this room, maybe couples fellowship meal ago in that another room, we were sitting at the table and I asked him question. Someone called to me, it's an immigrant here in America from California, and we talk a lot of, and he asked, I would like to come to here, to your area, and I won't go to church where you go. And for me was question, to what church I can take that one and go? And I asked Brother Moses question. Brother Moses, okay, there is couple churches. There is Charity, Efferta, and Shalom. And right now I have a question. I have called someone want to come and come to church. To what church I have to take that one? And he looked at me and tell, take and come to Efferta. I asked him question, can you tell me reason why I have to come to Efferta? Come to Efferta. All this movement, Malachiah movement, I call, both this building, and this building was filled up with blessing. A lot of people come. And right now, I think about this, and I want to remind everyone who stay here and call, we love Brother Moses. And Brother Nathan, we hear someone told about Elijah and Elisha, yes? And Elisha told, I want to have double power. It's not mean that one who bring money and told, I will give you money, but give me Holy Spirit. You remember that when someone come to Peter. You cannot buy Holy Spirit for money. Elisha pay a lot of life price to have double power. And Elijah didn't know this is selfish or not selfish. Looks like it's not selfish because he pick up that special clothes when I stay under very hard persecution where everyone and Ahab tried to kill me. So Elisha was ready, walk with me. It's mean he was ready to pay life price for that. But right now he asks something special. Double power. Wow. Double power. Okay, if you will see, you will have. If you will not see, he didn't know God. He didn't know everything, but he makes this test and told God, If you like to give him, you can do everything. If you see, you will have. And Elisha have. So Brother Nathan and everyone who stay here who like Brother Moses, do we understand right now what Brother Moses mean? Bring to here. What kind of responsibility he put to our shoulder, to that one who stay here. Heaven is happy when one sinner come. I love Anabaptist modesty. This is wonderful modesty. This is wonderful modesty. But this modesty somehow lock ourselves from sinner. And from sinner it's so hard to come and to stay with this modesty. This is what I see. This is blessing to have this modesty. Praise the Lord. But can we use this modesty? And that what brother told, Moses told, bring to here. And he did everything as much as he can. So much he was beaten like real Moses. Maybe he has special name, this is why. But for special reason, he loved God, and his wish was bring sinner to here. Because heaven is happy when one sinner, when not a lot of modesty, but when one sinner come to here. So I want to remind myself and to everyone who stay here all the time and all friends who tell we love Brother Moses. I want to remind this, bring to here. Bring to God. Try to do everything as much as you can. Make that Jesus Christ what we preach all the time. If you stay in me and my word in you. But he's happy when one sinner come to him. Because he come to here and died for everyone. For me and for everyone. So try to make Jesus Christ happy as much as you can.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Effort of Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.